Ningali Chonandani Mtogazo Mushe Muria Zimbabwe Zimbabwe Mushe. What's good? What's good? What's good, Zimbabwe Mushe? Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you tuned in right now, you tuned in to Live Talk The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. Muria Zimbabwe, this is Live Talk The Connection, brought to you by Studio 7 Voice of America on Tuesday, the 9th of February 2021. Muria Zimbabwe. I'm your host, Mike Hove. Now, first order of business, Muria Zimbabwe, unfortunately, Tine Urombo, Silu Sizi, Ngempela Silu Sizi, we apologize due to umkhuhlane coronavirus, due to COVID-19, we've had to work from home. Now, what this means for you, our loyal listeners, is unfortunately, you cannot call in live as per usual. However, Muria Zimbabwe, you can still give us your feedback, you can still contribute to our program by sending us my voice notes, and you, I'm no Simbo Tumira, per WhatsApp number, +1 202 465 0318. Once again, this is a pre-recorded broadcast, so you cannot join us live. However, you can still contribute on WhatsApp, +1 202 465 0318. This broadcast is also going to be available on our three Facebook pages, Muria Zimbabwe, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. So if you're looking to contribute, you can share the program there, and you can write your comments in the comments section. Unfortunately, due to coronavirus, I'm quite so pinam chirongwa. Nonetheless, it's okay like so. Pano pa chirongwa chedu cheve chitiki. We're together. Pano pa chirongwa chedu. Tamnopiwa ne Studio 7. Nefenyure, ye Studio 7. Tonight on The Connection, we continue the discussion on the COVID-19 pandemic. Chirwere che coronavirus. Chiruku endramberi muri Zimbabwe. Chichiteke shira munyika. Nasi mchirongwa, we're going to delve deeper. Chichikurukura ka nenyanji. Munyaze utano. Speaking to medical experts as they give us their input on what's happening in the country COVID-19 related. Now, we're looking to focus on the usage of traditional medicine and herbs for COVID-19 recovery. That seems to be a big thing that's happening in the country. But the conversation is not going to end there. We're also going to talk about the COVID-19 vaccine that seems to be discussed by a lot of people right now. And then we also talked to a youth rights activist, Robert Malunda, who caters for the blind. So we're going to be focusing on how the blind are currently surviving under the level 4 COVID-19 lockdown. But now, Muria Zimbabwe, we're also going to be touching on another thing, which is the current state of education in Zimbabwe under the COVID-19 lockdown. So all this is encompassed under our coronavirus discussion. To wrap it all up, we're going to be joined by a 17-year-old Afro-pop musician, Pablo Cartel, whose song, his recent song, Susanna, 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 is hitting the airwaves and is on the mouths of a lot of people. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. But first up, some important news, Totanga, serious news, important news, Muria Zimbabwe, what is coming out of the United States of America, an update of what is happening here in USA. Now, America today witnesses the second impeachment trial of the former president, the 45th president of the United States of America, former President Donald Trump. Now, the ex-president is being charged with, incitement of insurrection over the Capitol riots. Now, this is an event, Muria Zimbabwe, if you remember, towards inauguration. And on inauguration day, the Washington, D.C. was shut down. This was all because of an event that dates back to a couple of weeks, whereby Donald Trump, supporters of the former president, stormed the Capitol Hill police, and they were violently protesting outside the government building. Now, let us head over to VOA correspondent Catherine Gibson, who's going to break down to us what exactly is going on with this second impeachment. Let us head over to that piece.
In the same hallways where rioters overwhelmed police just weeks ago, House Democrats on January 25th delivered the article of impeachment to the U.S. Senate, charging former President Donald Trump with inciting that riot after falsely claiming last year's presidential election was stolen.
We will never give up. We will never concede.
More than 160 people across the nation have been arrested and charged for their part in the January 6th siege, and hundreds more are under investigation. And the threat from domestic extremists remains urgent, the Department of Homeland Security recently warned, as a California man is charged for plotting to blow up buildings in Washington.
And Trump must be tried and convicted. to ensure that no future president will ever think it's okay to incite insurrection.
Exactly 1 week after the riot, while Trump was still president, the U.S. House of Representatives voted 232 to 197 to impeach him. While some top Republicans have acknowledged Trump's role in the riot,
the mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
Conviction requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate. Assuming all 50 Democrats vote to convict, that means 17 Republican senators would also have to find Trump guilty. Only five Republicans voted to move ahead with the trial against objections that trying a former president is not constitutional.
Republicans in the Senate are thinking about the potential role that former President Trump can play in Republican politics, whether as a participant or as a spoiler, and are going to vote based upon their sense of what the appropriate future of the Republican Party looks like.
Democrats are concerned there are not enough Republican votes to convict, and the Senate trial will distract from the first weeks of President Joe Biden's term. Some have proposed a censure vote that does not have any consequences, an option top Democrats have rejected.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and the evidence against the former president will be presented in living color for the nation and every one of us to see.
Trump's legal team has undergone several changes as he continues to claim election fraud. A simple majority vote could bar him from ever again running for federal office, but conviction is unlikely.
Nobody's been convicted, although some have been impeached. So this is really historic on so many levels, and particularly the charges. I mean, the notion that a president of the United States would essentially try a coup to remain in office when he has exhausted all legal remedies.
Trump is the only president in U.S. history to be impeached twice and will be the first former president to undergo a Senate trial. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
Well, Moody of Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Catherine Gibson. She is talking about the second impeachment trial of the 45th president, the former president of the United States of America, former President Donald Trump, which is going to be happening today. But now, Moody of Zimbabwe, let us delve into our topic of discussion, coronavirus, COVID-19. As I mentioned earlier on, Moody of Zimbabwe, Nasim Chirongwa, Jionyaya Chukuzea, Chukukura Nevechikichi, we speak to the youth of Zimbabwe about a coronavirus. Now, as of last night, Moody of Zimbabwe, the latest information released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare, 2,557 PCR tests were conducted last night. 106 new cases were detected, 274 recoveries, and 13 deaths. Now, of those 13 deaths, Moody of Zimbabwe, one is in Bulawayo, five is in Harare, two in Manicaland, one in Mashonaland Central, three in Mashonaland East, and one in Mashonaland West. Zimbabwe currently has 34,658 confirmed coronavirus cases and 28,825 recoveries, 1,339 deaths. So those are the current statistics in Zimbabwe. Muchuonoka, tishakamira se munyika. But now when we talk about COVID-19 figures and, of course, the spreading of coronavirus in Zimbabwe, there's a big discussion that's currently going on right now, which is surrounding the coronavirus vaccine, which government is saying that they're planning soon to roll it out. And now, until then, medical experts are urging Zimbabweans to make sure that they take every necessary precaution to ensure that they respect and abide by the COVID-19 lockdown rules, which targets curbing the spread of COVID-19 in Zimbabwe. Let us hold over to a statement recently released by the Ministry of Health and Childcare. Here it is Dr. Mangwiro, who is the Deputy Minister of Health and Childcare in Zimbabwe. He talks more about the coronavirus vaccine in Zimbabwe and, of course, what government is going to be doing. The next clip you're about to view, Muria Zimbabwe, if you're listening on radio, the next clip you're about to listen is courtesy of the Ministry of Health and Child Care YouTube page. Let us head over to Dr. Mangwiro.
This vaccine is going to be free of charge. Two, it's going to be on a voluntary basis. We are not allowed to buy one, though we are not buying one. Vaccine will be allowed. As the only zero rule is that people must get this injection if possible. But it's a willing injected. Those who do not want will not be forced. But science and our scientists point to the fact that this vaccine is potentially very helpful. It's very helpful where it has been given to others. It's helpful in trying to avert the disaster that we are seeing with the COVID-19 disease. So we definitely encourage people to get it. Well, the preparations that are on the ground are that we already have a structure where we were giving the old vaccines like polio, whatever. Those are still in place. We use those structures. But definitely also we need a bit of data from people, definitely their names and all that. We also collect blood to see if they already had antibodies to this COVID-19 and what will come after the injection of the COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, then, Mudia Zimbabwe, you're hearing from the Deputy Minister of Health and Childcare, Dr. Mangwiro, breaking down what's happening in Zimbabwe when we talk about the coronavirus. And, of course, the upcoming vaccine, Manzwaka, Kutanzi, Aiwa, Nomba, e-vaccine, coronavirus, Izabe, Ikona, Ieza, Elizweni, Ulezwanjalo, Uwe, Kasisa, Ngempela, Dr. Mangwiro, esithi, the vaccine is going to be distributed mahala to those abafisa ukuthatha uthi ngempela ngempela it's not going to be a forced thing ukuthi abantu bathathe i-vaccine emkhuhlane we-coronavirus. Now, Mudia Zimbabwe, without further ado, let's head over to our youth doctor tonight on The Connection. We're joined by Dr. Tinotendas Memeza, who breaks down what's happening in Zimbabwe with regards to the spread of COVID-19. We also talk about the usage of traditional herbs in when it comes to COVID-19 recovery and a lot more. Let us head over to Dr. Memeza.
I think this week's figures have been fewer than what we've been experiencing this past weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think owing to the effects of the lockdown and so forth, but it's still a higher number compared to what we experienced last year,
mm-hmm.
The deaths and also the new infections.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Simemeza, you briefly touched on the lockdown itself. So I want to delve a little deeper into that. Just under 2 weeks ago, if I'm correct, we heard Vice President Constantino Chiwenga, current Minister of Health, announcing that the lockdown would be extended up until the 15th of February. You are one of the people that came onto this program and advocated for a lockdown extension. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. Could you let us know what was your reaction when Vice President Chiwenga announced the lockdown? And of course, is the 15 days that he gave, is that enough? Do we need more? What do you think?
I think it's wise at the moment. We saw that most of the deaths and new infections that we're experiencing right now are from end of December during the holidays. So we saw a lot of infections in January and a number of deaths and so forth. So extending the period of lockdown is wise at the moment, just to make sure that we don't get new infections and they don't just start to crop up as much as they can.
Now, let's talk a little more about the effectiveness of the COVID-19 lockdown. Now, on this program here, we've had voices and interviewed different experts outside of yourself. As we've spoken about the COVID-19 lockdown, how it's impacting youth and so forth. Now, amongst the people that whose voice we've managed to source and have on the show was the former Minister of Health, Dr. Henry Matsorera. Now, Dr. Matsorera and other experts and, of course, regular citizens have echoed similar sentiments when they were talking about the lockdown. One thing they've said is, in their opinion, they are in full agreement with the idea of a lockdown. However, Zimbabwe's implementation is something that they feel as though has made the lockdown ineffective or made the lockdown not as effective as it should be. As someone who's cognizant of the challenges, the day-to-day challenges that people face, because these are some of the things that they cite, saying that people are going out in their numbers to go out there and are breaking COVID-19 regulations on purpose because they're going out there trying to make a living and so forth to figure out how they can make it through to when the country's reopened or life goes back to normal, which isn't helping, I guess, in terms of the COVID figures. But as someone who's cognizant of these challenges, what do you think we need to do as a nation to ensure that our COVID-19 lockdown is more effective?
I think not necessarily that everyone has to be at home, but I'm sure there's certain sort of some types of jobs that you actually have to be on the ground. Mm-hmm. Like myself, I can't be at home. I think the thing that is important is for us to keep each other accountable. Mm-hmm. And also to have systems that monitor. It starts off like the way we are doing it as a family. Are you promoting the principles that are being highlighted each and every week? As a community, what is happening? What sort of monitoring systems have you put in place so that the disease doesn't spread and people adhere to the requirements that are needed? So I think the issue of us being accountable to each other as a community, because no one else is going to save us unless we ourselves implement these policies that need to be done.
Another discussion I want to delve into whilst I have you here, Panopa Chongwanas, is the talk around traditional medicine. To go back to the socio-economic challenges that people are facing, I've spoken to different community leaders, people that are in different paths in Zimbabwe, and they've highlighted that the challenges that people are facing has led to them resorting to traditional medicine and traditional herbs as a means of combating coronavirus, as a means of, for example, if someone contracts it, helping recover. You're a medical expert. You work with science, and at times you might have to work with traditional remedies. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that. What is your take on the way that people are using traditional herbs and traditional medicine in the combat against coronavirus in Zimbabwe?
The thing is, medical herbs have been used for generations and generations up until now. So it's a question of whether you're using something that has already been tried and tested, or we are now just experimenting using things that we just think about and then try to do it. So with most of what is being prescribed and so forth, these are things that people usually use when they have our normal colds or flus, like the eucalyptus oil, now the zumbani and so forth. These are things that have been in the system for quite some time. It's just that it has been enhanced because of COVID-19 and so forth. But the thing is, when people now use things that are not usual remedies and try to experiment, it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And also when they overdo it, it also becomes a problem, because now it's more like psychology more than it is actual evidence-based medicine. Mm-hmm. You're like treating your brain more than actually treating what's actually happening.
Another talk that seems to have come back, I've had, once again, I keep explaining, I'm just citing the experts that have come onto the show, is the talk around COVID-19 testing. They feel as though they acknowledge the improvement that government has done since the outbreak last March. However, they feel as though government needs to go into a program whereby they ramp up the amount of tests that they're conducting day to day to day, and of course ensure that they can get to the most remote areas in Zimbabwe and conduct COVID-19 tests there, because they are of the belief that the tests that are being done are not enough. You're the medical expert, Doc. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think testing has always been a key point in terms of how to prevent the disease and also to monitor what's happening on the ground and also to find our red zones in the country mm-hmm. and where the disease is being spread. So testing has always been key, and we've always needed to be at our best in terms of the way we are testing, mass testing and isolation and quarantining. So there's no room for not being on top of our game when it comes to testing, mm-hmm. because it's one of the things that is necessary to help us flatten the curve. Mm-hmm. So I think we heard last week that some clinics are also now offering the tests. Hopefully that can be adhered to, and we have more testing centers throughout the whole country.
Which leads to the part, another thing that I want to touch into, which is the education around coronavirus in Zimbabwe, right? People have come to understand and learned the jingle. people now know the wash your hands, wear your mask, and so forth. It's been recited time and time again. However, there's another element towards COVID-19 education that people don't seem to be cognizant of, or people don't seem to know much of, which is the idea or the knowledge behind testing, COVID-19 testing. And here I'm not just talking about the procedure to be tested. However, I'm also talking about costs and where people can be tested. One thing that's come to my attention throughout these conversations with different people is that people are only learning now that there's some places that are testing for coronavirus for free, A, and secondly, there's not a lot of people that are very knowledgeable in terms of where to get these tests done. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, Doc. Do you think that we need to reevaluate the way that we're approaching the education around coronavirus to ensure that these parts are included? What are your thoughts? What do you think?
Yes, I think it's really necessary to beef up the way we are the way we are spreading information. I think some people are still not in the loop in terms of where things are done, the cost, and whether it's free or not, and so forth. So I think we should actually be able to beef up the way we are disseminating information. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk on radio and on TV, but sometimes people are doing other things to be watching TV or radio. Right. So we always have to have different strategies to disseminate information, mm-hmm. which is necessary.
All right, Dr. Smimis, and that's it. Tipeo maundering from Surpeje, Nambe, and Wabafan Interventor COVID-19 in Zimbabwe Parisian.
Yeah, it's known about the Manamba today, this week, Kufura Ema Vika Pura. No, it was no cancer, really, Kubetzer on a lockdown, Yatinao, Isheji. But Sukonot Manamba actually aga wanda compared to Achaiwana last year. Vanhu vari kufana chirwere cheCovid vachiwedzerei, vanhu vari kupinda muzvipatara vachiwedzerei, uyezve vanhu vari kutesta positive vari vachigara havo muzimba vachiwedzerei. Zvinova izvo zvichireva kuti maybe month yakapfuura kwanga kune spread yechirwere ichi yakanyanya chave kuzobuda izvezvi, sezvo chichitora 2 to 3 weeks kuti chinatsobude. Saka tinoona kuti manumbers edu ari kuwedzera. Inova izvo nekuti pamwe tanga tiri relaxed nguva yemaholidays aDisemba, ndosaka chirwere chakaparara zvakanyanya.
Kunyaya yekushandiswa kwemishonga yechivanhu kana kuti yatinoti nechirungu traditional herbs kana kuti traditional medicine mukurapa chirwere checoronavirus. Tiri kunzwa kuti pane vanhu vakati wandei vari kushandisa mishonga yechivanhu mukurwisa chirwere checoronavirus. Senyanzvi munyaya dzeutano, muri kuzvionawo seizvi?
I think tinofanira kupatsanura kuti kurapa uyezve neku just to relieve my symptoms zvinhu zvakasiyana. Saka kana munhu achiti akurapa iye chirwere chibva chatopora, zvakasiyana nekuti izvi zvinobetsera kuti ufeme zvakanaka kana kuti zvirive masymptoms aunenge unawo. So tinoona kunguva nenguva kuti mahebs zvinhu zvanga zvingoshandiswa kubvira narini narini for as my home remedies. Ange pane amwe mahebs anotoonekwa kunzi anoshandawo kuririva masymptoms ezvirwere zvakaita sana eucalyptus oil and so forth. But kuzoti takurapa manje zvinhu zvatinofanira kunge tichipatsanura kuti madefinition edu ekurapa ecurative ne just to relieve symptoms zvinhu zvakasiyana.
Aiwa Dr. Simemeza, takunzwa zvakanaka. We heard you loud and clear. Doc, nguva ndiyo yadyana natakusvika kumagumo kwehurukuro yedu. We reached the time whereby we need to wrap up our conversation here. Could you throw your last sentiments, leave your last sentiments for the young listeners that are paying attention to our interview?
Okay, I think since we know garotaura kuti chirwere checoronavirus chirwere chekuti tinofana kubetserana kuti tikwanise kuchipedza uyezve tidzokere mukurarama kwataingoita kwataiziva. Saka tinofanira kubetserana kuti tirambe tichirangaridzana mumhuri dzedu nemunzvimbo dzatinogara kuti vanhu vanofanira kugara vakapfeka mamask kana vari mumapublic places. Kana waonekwa kuti une chirwere unofanira kuisolata. Kana uri kurwara maningi zvinopfurikidza upfu unofanira kuenda kuzvipatara kuti unorapwa unoonekwa ikoko.
Muri eZimbabwe, you are hearing there from our Dr. Tinotenda Simemeza Nyanzvi, munyaya dzeutano, our medical expert. You were touching on the spread of coronavirus, talking about the usage of medical herbs and so much more. Mazinzuroka, tipewo maondrenyu, uyezve muchiudzoka matambudziko amurikusangana nazvo, zvamurikusangana nazvo pasi pechirongwa checovid-19 lockdown. Tsheleni zvilokandaba inhlupo zenu, the everything you're encountering pansi kohlelo lwecovid-19 level 4 lockdown. Plus 1202465-0318 is the number to text or WhatsApp. Now, to move on with our program, Muri Zimbabwe, you heard from Dr. Simemeza. I also mentioned that we're going to be bringing in a youth activist who's going to be talking about how the disabled or the blind are surviving under the COVID-19 lockdown. We're joined by the founder of A Gateway to Elation, who is Robert Malunda, young Zimbabwean himself. He's also blind. He talks on everything that he has encountered and, of course, how his organization is helping under the COVID-19 lockdown. So, Muri Zimbabwe, without further ado, let us head over to my conversation with Robert Lingakotlilani. Lako ugusi chela imibonenu, lisebenza iWhatsApp. +12024650318. Robert, welcome to the program. Let us know what's going on. Let us know your thoughts. Ukuthi njengoba inani lebantu ababanjwa ngegciwane le coronavirus, the COVID-19 cases in Zimbabwe are increasing. What are your thoughts? Let us know. What's up?
First of all, I feel scared because these numbers have been increasing of late, and this increase also means the virus is now getting closer to all of us as people, and the situation becomes more dangerous, especially for blind people who touch a lot. Mm-hmm. So for those of us who are blind, we see by touching. Mm-hmm. So if we don't touch these surfaces and places, we don't really feel connected to the environment. So as a youth who is also a youth who is blind, I really feel scared. Mm-hmm. And a little hopeless, because this virus is causing a lot of alarm in our country, and these lockdowns also make it very difficult for blind people to survive.
Which is what I was about to head to next, and I'm glad you touched on that. As a blind person, like you mentioned, you're very reliant on your sense of touch to figure out and to recognize things and to know how to get to the next place. So during a time whereby there's coronavirus and doctors are saying, guys, try as much as possible not to touch unfamiliar backgrounds, and if you do, wash your hands, use sanitizer and so forth, how are you getting by? What are you doing?
I don't know how we are surviving, but I'm glad not many blind people have been infected by this virus, because I'm sure where we are, we try to sanitizers. But sanitizers are very, very expensive. At least we have lots of rain, which means we can try to wash our hands as much as possible using soap. Though it won't be running water, but after touching those surfaces, then we can then wash our hands using rain water. Yeah, this rain has been really a blessing to us, though some places have been flooding, but unfortunately, but fortunately it is helping us in washing away this coronavirus from our hands.
Now, aside from that, what other challenges are you facing under the COVID-19 lockdown?
There are some blind people, not many youths though, but there are some who depend on going to the streets to sell. Some go there to sell. We have blind people who go to sell as well. So they are also affected by the fact that informal sector cannot work. Mm-hmm. We also have, obviously, those who are into begging. We cannot run away from that. So they are also affected by this virus. But at the same time, even though someone is not begging or selling, even those who are going to work, because they are there, those who go to work, they are affected because when crossing the streets, our streets are not accessible. You cannot cross properly these roads of Zimbabwe on your own. So you need someone to assist. You may never know who is assisting you and do they have the virus or not, because being assisted is a necessity in our context.
That's an important thing. But now I also want to delve into the solutions that you're providing for fellow blind people. You recently sent me a link to your organization, which I looked out and I found really impressive. So let's delve into that. Gateway to Elation. Could you tell us more about that organization and what you guys are doing to help each other?
So Gateway to Elation is an initiative of opening a gateway to the world for the blind. We do this by providing training in computer literacy and daily living skills. So under computer literacy, we train them on how to access information and to be knowledgeable, especially in this COVID-19 era. People need truthful information about the virus and how to prevent it. And the internet is one such place where they can find such information. And secondly, by daily living skills, which also include components like orientation and mobility, so that they can be able to walk on their own. And we also train them on social interaction skills so that they can be part and parcel of our communities. So, yeah, with these three, we hope blind people will be empowered.
Which is really, I'm a little curious about that, especially when you talk about the technology aspect, computer literacy. I'll give you an example. I myself, as someone who's sighted, someone who can see, I rely on that to type, to see, and so forth. As a blind person, how are you guys going about, what devices, and what are you guys doing to ensure that you can still have access, equal access to all these things?
Yeah, for sure. This computer helps us to see, to research, because we are so much dependent on Google these days. So the thing is, we use what we call a screen reader. So this screen reader reads what is on the screen for a blind person. Mm-hmm. It provides vocal feedback or voice feedback with a voice synthesizer. So it will be talking. It will be a talking computer. Okay. But we use a normal computer, which has a considerable amount of RAM from 2 gig and just a normal computer. Then on phones also we are there. Mm-hmm. We use what we call TalkBack. So TalkBack, I think as the name implies, it will be talking back to the person. And for iPhones, we have VoiceOver. So those two help us in seeing what is in our phones. But what happens is blind people will be using the keyboard throughout because the mouse is a little problematic for us, so we use the keyboard and we are almost typing. We'll be typing always.
Interesting. And so how accessible are these gadgets in Zimbabwe? How are you guys going about making sure you have access to this? And, of course, the people that work with you. Is that easily accessible?
That's a very huge problem because we don't have access to computers for blind people to use. But we do have places where we try, internet cafes where we have structures with so that they can access, like the American Space. We have the American Space here in Bulawayo. In Gweru also, we also recommend the American Space so that people can go there and access the internet. We are still trying to find places, more places where we can be allowed to use the internet. But then the problem is that these other places are paid places. So for them to work with us, it's a little difficult because we don't have money to pay. Most blind people don't have money to be paying for those places. So that's why we try to use free places.
Let's talk a little more about, to go back to the lockdown, and of course what you just mentioned about gateway to Elation. Yes. You guys are providing a very important service. Access to information is very, very important during this time. And so definitely, I am a little curious, considering all the skills that you're teaching people, the blind, what skills are you guys teaching them that could help them, especially under such times whereby there's a COVID-19 lockdown?
So since 2020 April, the beginning of these lockdowns, we have tried to reach out to people, to blind people through mobile phones, because these trainings have to continue. So we try to reach out to people using mobile phones by delivering trainings using these mobile phones. So we, for those who don't have phones, we try to talk to their relatives so that they can allow them to use the phones. Gateway to Elation depends on donations. We also try to take part of those donations to those people so that they can get data, because data is a little expensive, yes, especially for those blind people who do not have income in this time. So we try to share what we have and ask relatives for those who don't have phones. But fortunately, when this program started, blind people started buying phones because they saw the need for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of things are you guys teaching fellow blind people right now? Or is it just how to access information? Is it helping them under the COVID-19 lockdown?
In addition to what we teach each other regarding computer literacy skills and mobility, we also include COVID-19 awareness. It's an awareness campaign. We also include awareness campaigns and share, verified information, because all blind people are also affected by this fake news. If we now use mobile phones, it means we are all affected by WhatsApp lies, you know, which spread on WhatsApp. So we also try to link them to credible sources for this COVID-19.
Robert, asithintele udabalolu ngolimi lukamama bese sigciba le ngxoxo. Sizaqala ngokukhuluma ngokumemetheka kwe-COVID-19. Siyabona ukuthi inani labantu ababanjwe ngaleli gciwane lilokhu likhanya ngani liyakhuphuka, liyakhwela. Ukubona njani lokhu njengosakhulayo ophila elizweni njalo njengomuntu ongaboniyo, ukubona njani lokhu okwenzakalayo?
Leyo kuyinto ebuhlungu njalo ethusayo, ngoba ukuqansa kwenani leli kuthi ukuthi umkhuhlane lo, igcikwane selifikile, selifika eduze lathi sibili. Ikakhulu ebantwini abangaboniyo kusuka kube lihlupho, ngoba bona umhlaba ngokubamba. Sizwa sisisa ukuba semhlabeni lokubona ngokubamba. Ngakho ke nxa igcikwane leli selisiba namanani angaka, inkulungwane lezinkulungwane zabantu, le nkulungwane yabantu asebefikile 1.3, okwakhathe sikuthi ukuthi hhayi sibili igcikwane leli seliseduze lathi.
Now, as we wrap up our conversation here, Robert, You mentioned that your organization is very reliant on donations, and so I'd like you to tell the listeners where they can go if they're looking to donate, A, and secondly, where they can go if they're looking to find out more information.
All right. You can find us for more information on gatewaytoelation.org, www.gatewaytoelation.org. That's where you can find more information about us. And you can also find the support page. That is where you find contact details and how you can support. So that's www.gatewaytoelation.org.
Moria Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Umnomzana Robert Malunda, the founder of eGatewayToElation.org. Vane zvirongwa zvakasiyana siyana zviri kubatsira abantu abakhubazekileyo, that are helping the blind. Plus 1202465 0318 is the number on WhatsApp if you're looking to give us your feedback, Moria Zimbabwe. Linga Kosinjalo, you can also check out our website, Egar Roberts, www.gatewaytoelation.org. Moria Zimbabwe, magati rachirongwa chedu chevechi niki, uhlelo The Connection, lilami umaikove.
Kipanda Poeka Mangma Wiza, I'm a quite artist, aka Mr. Columnist to an Evenity. Guys, COVID-19, abayibiza nge-corona, in the corner. Pambili nge social distancing, as Kezen is under always. Stay safe, stay home. Last night.
Easy, Majid.
Easy, Machita. Easy, Mr. Nkulumistua. Nevenekula. Shout out to Mawiza Wiza. You could check him out on social media at Mawiza Zim. Now, Munia Zimbabwe, when I started off this program, I also touched on the fact that Nasi Mchirongwa Tchange Tchizei Mwenyae. We're going to be taking a look at what's happening in schools, the current state of education under the COVID-19 lockdown. Now, when we first start off, we're going to focus on our primary first, and then we're going to move on to tertiary education. The grade 7 examination results were recently released. Now, according to a press statement released by ZIMSEC that was on the 5th of February, they released a statement that shows that there's been a drop in terms of how many students passed their exams. So according to the statement, it says, and I quote, the total number of candidates who sat the grade 2020 grade 7 examination was 327,559. The figure is 1.35% higher. However, the national pass rate is 37.11%, which is lower than the 2019 national pass rate, which was 46.9%. This translates to a decrease of 9.79% in the pass rate. Now, this has left educators, such as people who are part of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, worried because they feel as though the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the state of education. Let us hear more from the president of the Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, Mr. Obert Masaraure.
Education Equalization Fund,
zhinji pawanenge homwe inoungwa nehurumende inoita kuti tisimudzire infrastructure yezvikoro zvekumaruwa, tisimudzire kutengwa kwezvinoshandiswa pakudzidza nekudzidzisa vana vari kumaruwa. Zvekuti takagara tatara tichiti dai paitwa homwe retention and attraction allowance, mazuva ano vari kuiti rural allowance, asi vachibudisa mari shomanini isingafadze varairidzi kuti vanzwe udokwa dokwa rwekuda kudzidzisa kumaruwa. Zvakanyanya zvaafekta vana vanga vari kumaruwa nedzimwe nzvimbo dzakanyanyisaririra, kusina mukana wekuti murairidzi angakwanisa kudzidzisa vana pamadande mutande. Ende vana vemuHarare vakawana mukana wakawanda wekuti vangadzidze kumadande mutande, sezvo kuine mafacilities ane marizozi ari nani kudarika dzimwe nzvimbo.
Muri eZimbabwe liyamuzwa phela umongameli wenhlanganiso ye-Amalgamated Rural Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, umnumzana u-Obed Masaraure, touching on the current state of education within primary schools, according to a statement that was recently released by iZimsec. Bayasho ngempela ukuthi hayi kukhanya ngani i-national pass rate, ama-grade 7 results, kukhanya ngani it's decreased by 9.79%. So uyamuzwa umongameli owenhlanganiso ye-ATUS uRobson u-Obed Masaraure echasisa esithi no, the big issue khonapha is ukuthi laphaya when COVID happened and schools closed, a lot of students had to now resort to e-learning. And bona njengababalisi bathi hayi abafundi bona they were facing several different challenges ngenxa yokuthi e-learning is not something that everyone is kwele Zimbabwe across the board can afford. That's why liyamuzwa phela u-Obed Masaraure esithi hayi ukhanye ngani emadolobheni izikolo eziningi produced okay if not good results, kodwa izikolo ezisemaphandleni hayi khanye ngani bekulodubo okumangalisayo ngenxa yokuthi that's where you were seeing a lot of pass rates, whereby you will see that some schools would have registered a 0% pass rate. But now, primary schools are not the only place that are facing challenges under the COVID-19 lockdown. Even tertiary institutions. Recently, tertiary institutions found themselves in circumstances where some had their school fees increased, which is something utai, when they feel as though njengoba eningi labo a study using internet, and also not everybody has access to the internet. They feel as though that needs to be addressed as soon as possible. In ndaba yokuthi abafundi, students get equal access to internet, and students the issue of fees must be addressed as quickly as possible. That's something that students within tertiary institutions are really rallying for right now. Let's head over to uTapiwa Kiriga of the Zimbabwe National Students Union. He explains his thoughts on what's happening in tertiary institutions.
Well, it is undeniable that online learning is the future, and we must embrace the tech revolution. We must never compromise the right to learning in the name of mythical progress. Under the present circumstances, education is neither accessible nor affordable, in serious contrast with the requirements of Section 75 of the Constitution. While its quality is seriously compromised, government must come up with a loan facility that allows poor students to buy relevant gadgets on credit, while making sure online learning platforms are accessible at zero rate.
Education must be made available to ensure that everybody's right is respected. So liyamuzwa uTapiwa Kiriga. Let us know your thoughts, Muri eZimbabwe lingakhohlwa ukuthi sikhona njalo ku WhatsApp +12024650318. Now to wrap up this segment where we're looking at what's happening in schools under the COVID-19 lockdown, we also have a bite from an economist, uNqobizitha Mlambo, who comments on his thoughts. Esithi hayi ngempela yena ubona ngani ezikolo udubo lwedata. Data is a big problem. So let's hear more from uNqobizitha Mlambo as he comments on what's happening in schools.
The price of data in Zimbabwe is too exorbitant, as we all know, and far from the reach of many poor students. And when I talk about poor students, I'm talking about those students who come from working class families, if there's any working class left in this country. The IE, I'm referring to those who are in the informal sector, part of this economy. So they can't afford, for example, Econet charges 4,000 RTGS for a private Wi-Fi bundle for 50 gigabytes, which is something that an ordinary student might need to have full access to the internet.
Well, Mudia Zimbabwe, you're hearing there from Mabuzi Tamlambo commenting on people who are formulate the informal sector, saying this pricing of data makes it very difficult for them to afford it. So, Mudia Zimbabwe, let us know your thoughts. The current state of education under the COVID-19 lockdown, +12024650318 is the number. What's happening? We're broadcasting on our three Facebook pages. VOA Ndebele, VOA Shona, Nepa, VOA Studio 7. Saka isaima comments kuchok chono kutaiwa. Zichokwa di chuko na chongwa iti no wandu. Edu linga koshin jalogu fitizela. Na payo kwa lukuti like. Muchitinya paye pakanti like kuchok chono kutaiwa. Zichokwa di mure Zimbabwe muripo. 6 minutes left. Pano pa chongwa chudu chewe chitniki mure Zimbabwe. I promise you that as we wrap up our program, nasi mchongwa tine urukuro, we have a conversation with a 17-year-old Afro-pop musician, Pablo Cartel. Now, Pablo Cartel recently put out a song named Susanna. Such an amazing song that has been receiving a lot of love across the board. Even artists such as Opriquana in South Africa have shown love to the song itself. Let's head over to Pablo Cartel to hear more about this song. And, of course, how he's able to accomplish such at such a young age, how he's handling everything. Let's hear more from Pablo Cartel.
And I heard that he broke your heart last night, that he made you feel like a fool, that he broke your heart last night.
Pablo Cartel is a 17-year-old upcoming Afro-pop musician. I'm also a rugby player and I'm a law 6 student at Chinod High School.
Nice. Yeah. 17. That's pretty dope. I didn't see that one coming. That is pretty dope. I want to talk a little more about your art as a musician. We'll start off with, you know, what a lot of artists went through in the year of 2020 and are still going through right now, which is under the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of, just as an artist, your lifestyle changes completely and how you make your money changes completely. So I'm curious about that. How was Pablo Cartel making it through 2020 and 2021? You're actually rising instead of falling. So how are you doing it?
First of all, I'd like to thank the Lord, because being able to do something that other artists are not able to do is a blessing that you can only get from the Lord, and I'm really grateful for that. But moreover, I was able to make it in 2020 because of my parents' financial support, because the biggest problem that musicians in Zimbabwe face is financial support. They need money for the beat, they need money to pay the producers, they need money for almost everything. So I had the financial support of my parents, who gave me money to do the video, to do the song, and to also put it out there during the promotions and everything. And, you know, I was also able to work with people that were very open to me. They were very excited about my music. You know, being the new kid on the block and being the new kid who is doing Afropop, it was kind of really hard for me in other circles. But I want to thank the family from Roman Rap Studios, the likes of Daryl, YJ Africa, the likes of Brett, Liberace, Boy Tricky, especially Lloyd Saw, because he was able to mentor me and to teach me. So instead of falling in 2020, I was actually learning more by associating with people that are in the game.
You're 17 and you're still a student. So being an artist, a student, that's already a heavy load. If we look at the challenges that were posed by the COVID-19 lockdown, as you mentioned, there's that. Even students, you guys were also having your own challenges. But once again, I'm really curious. That's what really intrigued me to you, is that as a young person, you were still faced by these challenges, but you somehow rose. What are you doing to balance the load of both being a student and being a musician, especially during a time whereby we're living very, you know, things are very unusual. Things are online. It's just not normal. So how are you balancing both the workloads?
Well, I was managed to balance music and school by just, the first thing that I did was to put in the mind that I'm more of a student than I'm a musician. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, music also needs education in some parts, like marketing and everything. Mm-hmm. So my father and my mother sat down with me and they told me that they gave me certain principles that I had to follow if I wanted to make it through the music and also through the education. So I've been following those a lot. That is what has made me very unique being able to be so young and in school and being able to also control the music career, because during the day I'm doing my online lessons, but during the night I'm recording, I'm doing everything else, I'm writing new music, I'm doing everything. So I was able to balance that through the support of my parents. So basically everything just goes back to my parents the most. Yeah.
God bless them, man. So let's delve into the music. The reason I have you here, Susanna, Susanna, Susanna. That's a really catching song. I've had it on loop a couple of times, man. It's pretty dope. Tell us more about the song. Walk us through Susanna, man.
What actually happened was I was trying to be a social commentator, because the part of the city where I stay, you know, there's a lot of people. I can't call it a ghetto as such, but there are a lot of people and we see different things that happen every day. So I was trying to do some social commentary. So what actually happened is I went into a barber the other day, and then as I'm sitting in the barber, then a guy comes, you know, a friend of mine is like, yo, Pablo, this is what happened to me. I liked the girl, but we had a boyfriend, and today she has just been broken up with. She's just been broken up with. And then I was like, yo, bro, how did that happen? And then he explained it to me. So I tried to put myself in his shoes. What would I tell Susanna when I see her? That's why I said, yeah, man, I heard that it broke your heart last night. So I was just trying to be, you understand it now. So I was just trying to be in the shoes of that guy and try to talk to Susanna, just showing people that these are situations that actually happen.
That's a really intriguing way of looking at it. I mean, what exactly inspires you as a young person? I know I have a lot of artist friends, and they talk about their life experiences, what shaped them. But at 17, like, what exactly is inspiring your music?
I think it's mostly the experiences that I've had in the past. Because, you know, it was last year, during the lockdown of last year, you know, I tried to do the music thing, you know, but it didn't go down so, you know, ended up releasing an unfinished song, a poorly produced song. People tended to laugh at me and not see the kind of vision that I had, you know. So that pushed me a lot, because I was doing what I was doing knowing that I have people to prove, you know. I have people to show that the Lord can work in different ways. The Lord can work in very mysterious ways, you know. And also, music has always been in my family, that's the truth. You know, my grandfather was a choir master. My aunt is also singing. My dad is a very good vocalist. So it's just been inbuilt, you know. We sing in the shower, we sing as a family, we sing in the car. And I just thought that I would like to make people feel the way I feel, you know, through music.
So let's wrap up here for our audience here, Pablo. What exactly do you have in store for them outside of Susanna? Is there anything new coming up soon?
Well, I have a lot of music that I've been working on. I have a lot of music. If the Lord permitting, I'll be releasing another song in March. It's called Nifuna Wena. I mixed a little bit of Ndebele and a little bit of Shona to just show that the Ndebeles and the Shonas can just unite, you know. There's always been that tension, but I'm trying to correct it, because as my name says, cartel, it's always opportunity, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, where can people find this music? Let them know, man.
Well, it's out on every social media platform, at Pablo Cartel or Brad Jags, J-A-G-Z, or on my Instagram page, it's official Pablo Cartel, .zw. On my YouTube, it's Pablo Cartel TV. And on Audio Mark, it's official Pablo, .zw, yeah.
All right. Do you have any last words that you want to leave for the young people that are going to be paying attention to our interview?
Oh, a freestyle.
Go ahead.
Well, I can just say, kwese kwa usha ina nja kutevera, chiri tu baby sambura tino yerera, apana mungwe wandinga zomboda ni kutipe pipa nruko na geli, dino merera, chizi kana nye merera, swedera patuza sekerera, ndiwewe gawa ndinoda, amaricha baby uringoda.
You were looking so fresh to death, my baby Susanna, Susanna, ndiwewa nitomura kwe, ndiwewa ninoda makuse.
At official Pablo Muria Zimbabwe, check him out on Twitter and Instagram, Pablo Cartel. Wanelogala msha Muria Zimbabwe, chashika kumakumu echirongo chuducha nasi Muria Zimbabwe. Shout out to Dr. Timotenda Simemeza for joining us on our program. Shout out to Mr. Robert Malunga, Malunda.
of the Gateway for Elation for joining us, and shout out to Pablo Cartel for joining us. Please, Zimbabwe, tashuka kumagumo echonga chini cha nasi anokoneka inemfaro ndinwe nyuma ikove saka kumuche Zimbabwe muche. Let us meet same time, same place, lapa muche lelo chula basa kulayo. Bye bye.